Mother's Day. I will tell you, Mother's Day, humanly speaking, I think is one of the most wonderful days of the year. It really is. And you've probably heard this before. I may even have said it before, but when it comes to Mother's Day, that is one of the biggest outgoing mail days for prisoners. Prisoners sending cards to their moms. Seriously. Isn't that something? So moms, all year long, you may have thoughts of being unimportant. But at least on Mother's Day, I hope, your children help you know that you do exist and you are important in their lives. Well, you are. You are, and in fact, God has placed mothers in one of the most important positions and roles in the family, in the home, in the community, and more importantly than the community, in church. Mothers are important. Now, what I love about, or one of the things I love about church, the church body, not the building, but the church body, the people, is that God has also given an important position to all women, whether you're a mother or not, to biological children. He's given women an important position in the church to be spiritual mothers for children, youth, their peers, but especially younger women. Abraham Lincoln said this, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." I love that statement. No man is poor who has a godly mother. James S. Hewitt wrote about the time when Robert Ingersoll, a notorious skeptic toward the Bible and Christianity, when he was in his heyday, there were two college students who went to hear him lecture. After the lecture, the two students were walking down the street, and one said to the other, he said, "Wow, that really knocked all the props of Christianity away, didn't it?" And the other said, "No, I don't think he did. Ingersoll did not explain my mother's life. And until he can explain my mother's life, I will stand by my mother's God." That's powerful. That's powerful. Some years ago, an article from Today in the Word said, Lauren Sanney of the Navigators, an international Christian outreach ministry, once wrote of his mother. Sanney wrote, "My mother gave birth to me in a frontier home on a Midwestern prairie. On the kitchen counter, she placed a list of the ingredients necessary for my formula. At the top of the list was prayer. And that remained at the top of her list for me throughout her life." Listen to what he said. "I have her to thank for firmly establishing my spiritual roots." Look through Scripture, ladies. I challenge you. Gentlemen, look through Scripture. From the Old Testament through the New Testament, women have been charged with the great undertaking of teaching their children of God, of faith, of Jesus Christ. Who among all people in this world can have the influence on a person's life like a mom? Dads, we'll get to you in about a month. But moms, let me tell you, I contend that no one has a greater potential of impact on a life than you, than a mother. Mothers have a special job within a home. And women, in general, have a special position and a special job within the body of Christ. The job of a mother is first toward her personal children. That's your first ministry, Mom. Your first ministry is towards your personal children. And then the job of Christian women in the church is toward the children of the church, the youth, other believing women, and especially those that God has given you, whether you know it or not, a position of influence that might be younger than you, right here within the body of Christ. Will you bow your head in prayer with me, please? Holy God, what a great day we celebrate today. We celebrate mothers. As Liz sang for us, Ave Maria, what a beautiful reminder of Jesus' mother. Lord, you chose Mary not because she would have been in the line of David, though she was. You chose Mary because she was a godly young lady. She was one who understood the coming of the Messiah, understood that there would be one chosen for the virgin birth of God's Son, Jesus. You knew that she, and of course along with Joseph, but you knew that she would train and teach correctly the things and the ways of your commands. So we thank you for that example and many other examples throughout Scripture, some of which we'll talk about today. God, I just pray that you will bless and honor this time, that you'll be honored, that we will be encouraged, we'll be edified, maybe even compulsed to doing more in our for our faith and for the influence of those you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Timothy was a young pastor. In fact, it's speculated that he started his pastoral ministry in his late teens. He was under the mentorship of the Apostle Paul, and the two letters bearing Timothy's name, which we have recorded in our New Testament, were written to him by Paul. So I ask that you follow along as I read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, for the promise of life in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly loved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience as my ancestors did when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Clearly recalling your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and that I am convinced is in you also. Paul also wrote the following, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. From the passage we read from 2 Timothy, we know that Timothy's grandmother and mother, grandmother training mother, mother training son, they were women of strong faith in Almighty Creator God. And then they both made sure that Timothy knew God as well. This is the first responsibility of every godly mother. Like Lincoln said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. And the first responsibility of every godly mother is to themselves have a sincere faith Now, some of you may say, well, Pastor, I didn't even know Jesus or wasn't very serious about my faith until my kids were grown. That's okay. You know why? Because God is bigger than our age. He's bigger than time. You can be a godly woman of faith now. Your kids will see it. They'll see it. Your grown children, they will see it. So that is the first responsibility. The idea of sincere faith, understand, is that of faith with strength that will withstand persecution. It will withstand suffering. And it will be visible to all that know you. Though every true believer, and that is gentlemen as well as ladies, every true believer is called to have this kind of faith. We all are called to have that. But a mother within their home and women in the church body have a special call to live and teach this kind of faith. It's that faith that happens behind closed doors. As a mother reads God's Word, as a mother prays in earnest, as a woman in the church hears a spiritual need of someone else in the church and they're praying. They're at times maybe sending a note of encouragement. And story after story after story can be told of someone who may not even have a biological child was such an inspiration for another young person or younger person in the church body because someone took time to be a spiritual mom and to be a woman of faith to them. So it is a special position God has given, a special position of faith. Consider the following scripture written by Paul to another of his pastoral mentees. And by the way, yes, I looked it up. Mentee is a word. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. In the same way, older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not addicted to wine. They are to teach what is good, so they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be self-controlled, pure, homemakers, kind and yielding to their husband's position in the home, so that God's message will not be slandered. This is God's call on mothers and women. It is not a subservient role. It's a godly role. Our culture pushes against the whole idea of a mother being at home. Mothers should have careers and mothers should have, you know, everything that a man should have. Fine and good. But the first responsibility for a mother is her home. I have no problem with career women. In fact, I know some here and I've known some through my life that have amazing careers, but you sit down and talk with them, they're godly women, their first priority, their first responsibility, and they would have no problem telling any boss, that's my job. Though they have great careers, and some powerful ladies, but their number one job is home. And is their children. Why? Because God's their boss. Their faith is their guide. What a beautiful thing. And I love the fact that we have beautiful examples of all of that right here at Zora Baptist Church. So, though this is God's call on mothers, it's also God's call on women in general. True, not every woman in a church setting has children of their own. But you see, the burden is upon all true believing women to strive to be this kind of woman, like Eunice, like Timothy's grandmother, women of strong faith, willing to teach the children, the youth, other women, and frankly, youthful men sometimes too, of faith and what it is to stand strong. I believe one of the biggest cop-outs in our churches today is for older adults, men or women, to say something like the following: I don't want to work in the children and youth departments. I've done my time. You've done your time. As I read Scripture, we don't get to say that until we die. We've done our time. I'll tell you what, may I never be, and I'll be honest with you, I've not met any pastor, may I never be a pastor like I'm going to describe, and I've never met a true pastor that upon retirement quit pastoring, quit preaching. They didn't say, I've done my time. They were still looking for places to serve the Lord with the gifts they'd been given continually. Well, that's not just pastors. That's every person in the church. We have gifts. We have abilities. Now, let me tell you something. Not everybody has the gift of working with children. Understood. In fact, some of you, I say, don't. But you know what? Those of you that do, be willing. Step in. We don't have a lot of youth here, but guess what? We have some. Step in. Volunteer. Say, hey, listen, I wouldn't mind teaching. Maybe God's laid something on your heart and you want to teach a particular subject for Sunday school to our youth. Come talk to me about that. Let's see what we can do in just part-time for a short little bit. Whatever it might be. But let's not ever say, I've done my time. I don't want to work in a nursery. I've done my time. Oh my goodness. That's one of the greatest ministries a person can have in the church. Now, I grant it, if you have to do it every single week, it can be a bit burdensome. But we could get a rotation as needed. Things like that. Don't let that be our cop-out. The role of a godly mother, a godly woman, starts with your sincere faith. What is our faith? What is one of the first outcroppings of our faith? Isn't it love for brothers and sisters in Christ? That's the number one spiritual gift given every person. To know that a person is a true believer, you don't have to speak in tongues. You don't have to prophesy. Every believer is given the capacity of God's love for other believers. It should be seen in us. It should be enacted. And we should grow in it over and over. And so therefore, mothers are given that amazing, and I should say women, I think I've seen it over and over, women are given a great capacity to show love. I was talking to a gentleman this morning. I witnessed one of the most, I don't know, I guess I have to say funny conversations at the Exxon. My wife stopped and the kids and everybody got some coffee and whatnot. And I watched these two guys, they hadn't seen each other in a little while. Hey, how are you doing? I'm all right. Oh, good, good, good. Yeah, it's better now that the days are getting sunnier. And yeah, that's good, that's good, that's good. Well, hey, you know, it's been good talking to you, good seeing you. Yeah, yeah, you too, it's been good. And that's what they're going. Boy, they really caught up. Wow. Ladies, do you think there could ever be two ladies that meet and have that kind of a conversation? I mean, come on. Guys are the epitome of just keeping emotion out of it all. But ladies, you teach us. You show us. You have a greater capacity not to love, but to express it. Here in our church, what a beautiful thing. And so Timothy was taught life's principles. He was taught the character of God. God is a God of emotion. Describe Him. A God of love, a God of peace, a God of mercy, a God of grace. Those are emotional terms. And His grandmother and his mother taught him God. This solid knowledge of Scripture as well. It wasn't just an experience, but they knew God's Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned." Paul's saying this to Timothy. "Continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you. And you know that from childhood you have known the sacred Scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Paul states, you know those who taught you. Who taught him? His grandma and his mom. That's who taught him. And what does he say about it? He says, continue in what you've learned and firmly believed. From childhood, he learned the Scriptures. From who? Grandma and mom. His dad was Greek. His dad was not a Jewish man at all. He learned it from grandma and from mom. And in verse 14, as we saw in verse 14, Paul just states, you know those who taught you. So besides Paul, who had been teaching him in his later teen years, but besides Paul, he's being taught by these ladies in his life. How could his grandmother and mother have taught him and trained him in the Holy Scriptures if they had not known the Scriptures themselves? How could they have taught him faith in Almighty Creator God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if they didn't know Him themselves? They couldn't have. And so they taught Timothy from their life, from their heart, and from their knowledge. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan had four sons. G. Campbell Morgan was a great preacher. All four of his sons were preachers. And one time, all four of them were together in a drawing room. And a reporter came to see the family. And he asked the sons in general, he asked them this question. He asked Howard, the oldest of the sons, asked him this question. He said, "Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family?" Now understand, Howard had great admiration for his father. But he looked straight at this reporter, he looked straight at him in the eye, and then without a moment's hesitation, his answer to the question was, "Mother. My mother. Who is the greatest preacher in your family? My mother." Within the church body as well as in the home, it's imperative that godly mothers, godly women, know God's Word. That you are renewing your mind daily in God's Word. You will then know God's will. And hopefully something very familiar, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. "Do not be conformed to this age, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's through God's Word. "So that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." This can only happen, ladies and gentlemen. It can only happen by reading it, listening to it, knowing it, studying it, God's Word. And then, as the psalmist said in Psalm 119, 10 through 13, we may be able to say, like David said, "I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Lord, may you be praised. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I proclaim, all the judgments from your mouth. When a person is in God's Word daily, then living and teaching it, it will become part of them. So ladies, I implore you, be in God's Word. You know, Wayne talks about this every Sunday, our daily bread. Honestly, it's one of the easiest and simplest ways to be in God's Word. It's a great story. If you want just one verse, they have one verse in every page, on every day. But they also have scripture passages for you to read for that day. They even have a plan that you can read through the Bible in a year. That's written right up here. That's a simple way. 5 minutes. If all you do is this, even a slow reader, 5 minutes. 5 minutes. If you want a little more and you go to some of the scripture verses and passages in there, 10 minutes tops of your day to renew your mind, to prepare you to be that godly woman. And guys, we need to be godly men. Only comes through God's Word. So when a person is in God's Word and they become that person, then we can heed what God spoke through James in James chapter 1, verse 22. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. As women of sincere faith who are in God's Word daily learning to live, they believe godly spiritual mothers become the influence God desires them to be. Philippians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. Join in imitating me, Paul says, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. So what is that saying? Some of us may say, well, Pastor, I'm kind of just new, or I'm just rekindling my faith. We take what we've learned, whatever we've learned, and we live in it. But what Paul says is, then find godly examples. That's what's beautiful in this church. Whether they are called a mentor or not, find someone you see that is in a place of godliness that you want to be. And follow them. Get around them. See what they do in their life. Glean from their teaching. That's where Sunday school is so important. And we have a ladies' group here. They're a strong ladies' group, and we have teachers in that class that have much to learn, that you have much to learn from. We have ladies that are living godly lives here. Come and learn from them. But let's not ever think we reach a pinnacle, ladies. We need to learn then from each other. I've given this example before. I'd like to give it again. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon once said, I cannot tell how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother. I remember her once praying, Now, Lord, if my children go on in sin, it will not be from ignorance that they perish. And my soul must bear swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold on Christ and claim Him as their personal Savior. Why could she pray that? Because she knew she did her job. Loving God and loving her children. Dr. John MacArthur, a great theologian of God's Word, stated this, To be a mother is by no means second class. Men may have the authority in the home, but the women have the influence. The mother, more than the father, is the one who molds and shapes those little lives from day one. And the great preacher Billy Graham once exclaimed, Only God Himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the molding of character in her children. You see, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 states, and I hold to this promise often, I'm sure many of you do as well, teach a youth about the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The bottom line is this. Godly moms and godly women are to be women of sincere faith who are seeking God and His Word as close to daily as possible. And then living what it teaches. Not for any fame, not for any glory, but because it becomes part of you. To be women of prayer. So moms, ladies, whether you have biological children of your own or not, your job in the home and in this church, Zohar Baptist Church, is of utmost importance. It should be taken very seriously. Let's pray. Holy God, I thank you so much. I thank you for my mom. I see now, more and more and more, some of the godliness that my mom has given as example for me. Things I hadn't noticed when I was younger, but I see now. I thank you for my mom. I thank you for the spiritual moms you've given me in churches that I've been part of. The women who have lived godly lives, who have been godly wives, godly moms, some who may not have been married that I've known that have just said, I'm sold out to Jesus Christ. I thank you for them. Lord, I pray that you will raise up more and more and more here at Zohar Baptist Church women who are willing to do what it takes to be a woman of faith, to be like Timothy's grandma and mother, to know that they cause their children to be rich, as Abraham Lincoln said, because they know with you as their strength and guide, they are godly women, godly moms. For all of us, the men, the children that are here, may we look to godly mothers, be it in our own home or in the church. May we follow their faith. May we live our lives in the strength of faith like they demonstrate. To God be the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. I'd like to close our time today with hymn chapter 530. But before we do that, I want to honor moms for a moment. Now, sometimes we say, who's the oldest mom? Who's the mom with the most kids? And all that kind of stuff. And I don't necessarily want to do that today. I'd like to just say, moms, you're great. You're awesome. And guess what? Not one of us would be here without a mom. So I want to thank you. And my sons, they're going to help me. We have a little gift. It says, women of faith, light the way. Women of faith, light the way. So as you have this, it's a little keychain type flashlight. Guys, you can go and just pass it out to all the ladies. We'll even let the girls have one. I think we have enough. If they're female, they get one. Guys, they're pink. We're not missing out, okay? But they're pretty cool little lights. They light up like that, but then they're also like a flashlight like that. And so I don't know if you all caught that. So like a little lantern, and sits on your keychain. So, and it says on there, women of faith light the way. Now these won't last forever, but hopefully long enough to remind you to be a woman of faith. Today, I hope that that you'll take that challenge, being a woman of faith. And now, if we can, we'll turn to hymn 530, I'd Rather Have Jesus. If you're able, let's please stand and sing. Let's sing verses 1 and 2 today. Thank you. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd
let's make sure they have a blessed day. Happy Mother's Day. God bless you all.